was the main feedback I got was, is it gonna get recorded? No, people are busy, I don't know. All right, so I'm sure everybody's had that experience where you get a fraudulent fundraiser, a shady schnorrer, crooked collector. So I want to talk about something.
Yeah, tell us your best story.
This guy comes up to me in the back of my room and pretends he knows me and sees
Yeah.
my pals. I say, yeah, you have five kids. I'm like, oh, where are your clothes?
Close. Yeah.
Made it like we're old friends.
I was in Brooklyn one time, and I was in like a Hasidic shul, and there was this guy, he looked very Jewish, and he like, kept like taking a dollar bill and like pushing it to this Hasidic guy, like, and the Hasidic guy would like just like, he whatever, there's all like shtick going on, and me and my friend gave him like a dollar, not so much
Yeah.
money, and then later on we saw him like walk home, and he like literally like was like taking off his like
Undressing,
old
taking off
garb
his
and
kasten
walking into
as he
like the
was
house,
leaving.
and I was
Yeah,
like, oh my god,
exactly.
wow,
Yeah,
the real story, you shut the recording.
You want me to shut the recording? Okay. I had a guy come to me once and say, it was actually in Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. Mamish a sob story. He starts crying bitterly. He says, "You want to do a mitzvah? You can mamish save me. I need to get on a flight tonight." And it's a whole story about how his wife was killed in 9/11. Then he has a daughter who's sick in Manhattan, and he's here, and he needs to see his daughter before she dies, like a whole ma'aseh. So, and he needs to get to the airport. And he needs to get on his flight. So I asked him what airline he's taking. He said Pan Am. I thought, I have news for you. I have news for you. This,
It's been
you
a
know,
while.
he's using the same story, you know, since whenever. So I told him I'll give him a ride to the airport. He didn't want to go. He just wanted the cash. So, okay, let's start in a roundabout way, and we'll get back to these crooked collectors in a second. There's the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Matis talks about nedarim, and as you know, the halacha is that if a woman makes a married woman or a minor daughter makes a neder or shvuah, the father, the husband, has in certain limited circumstances the right, the right to override and nullify these vows, right? So, mashal, let's say somebody's wife comes home and says, you know, I stepped on the scale in the gym, I didn't like what I saw. That's it. She makes a shvuah, a neder, whatever. No more cheesecake, no more donuts. And you know that she's going to regret it, or whatever. You know it's going to cause more stress than the pounds. So the husband says, "Muffer," but she's already out the door. She doesn't hear. It doesn't matter. The neder is void. The pasuk says, "Vashem yislach lah, isha haferam Vashem yislach lah." So Rashi is quoting a Gemara, which appears in a couple of Masechtas. I have it here reproduced from. Kiddushin Daf, I think it's Pei Aleph or Pei Beis, I forgot, Pei Aleph and Beis, where the Gemara asks, one second, if the husband was made for the neder, what does she need a kapara for? She's allowed to eat donuts now. So Gemara explains the cases like this. She's going shopping for Shabbos. And she's going to buy broccoli and lettuce and coleslaw. And the husband knows that the temptation is going to be too great. So he says, "I'm made for the neder." Meanwhile, she passes by the bakery, she pulls over, she grabs a donut, and she thinks she just did a big avera. She violated her shvuah and neder. Lemaisa, it's not, because the husband was mefer. That's the case. So she needs a kapara. Why does she need a kapara? Because she thought she was doing an avera. She did something she didn't know she was allowed to do. So let's see how the Gemara explains it. Gemara gives us some mussar here also. The top of the page. Desanya isha haferam. The husband nullified the neder. V'Hashem yislach la. And Hashem should forgive her. Will forgive her. B'meh ha'kasuv medaber. What's the pasuk talking about? B'isha shenader b'nazir. Okay, so he has a specific case where she accepted nazirus. Okay, so nazirus is pretty tricky, right? No grape juice, no wine, no cemeteries. V'shama b'ayla. The hefer law, and her husband heard, and the husband was made for the neder. V'hilo yada shehefer la bala, but she didn't know. He's not obligated to tell her. I mean, he should, realistically speaking. But the neder is nullified. V'hayisa shosa yayin umetam alameisin, and then she was drinking wine, and she went to a levaya, she went to a cemetery, which she's not allowed to do if she's in Nazir. Agav, I just want to mention that there was a certain Rosh Yeshiva who it was rumored he would ask Bachrim who are applying to the Yeshiva if they know whether a woman could become a Nazir or just a man. Bring a raya. So they start saying, you know, so one of the big rayas they bring is this Gemara. Because the Gemara says that a woman says she's going to be a Nazir and the husband's going to be Mefer. And it's a joke that especially people who are Bali Kriya know.
Especially the ones who have Bar Mitzvah Parsha Nazir.
Right. You know, the real answer is that the third word in the Parsha of Nazir, right? The third word, Ish O Isha, right? It says right away in the Pasuk. We don't learn Chumash, we learn Gemara. So it says that's why she needs a kapara. She needs a kapara. Needs a kapara because she didn't know that the husband was made for the nether. And she thought that what she was doing was an avera. Now let's see some musar. Rabbi Akiva ki hava mati lahai pesuka hava bachi. When Rabbi Akiva came to this pasuk, he would weep. Amar. Uma mishen eskavin lechol basar chazir. Someone who intended to eat treif. Va'ala biyadei basar teleh. And he ended up eating kosher. Amra Taira tzricha kapara. Still need a kapara. Uslicha. Mishne skaven lechol basar chazir. Va'ala biyadei basar chazir. Alachas kam v'kama. That's what he said. Right? So it's a very interesting lesson we learn here. That somebody who had bad intent to do an avera and didn't end up doing the avera, but there's still a kapara. Right? So you can imagine a guy decides he wants to try going off the derech for a day, see how it is. He never had a McDonald's cheeseburger. He's going to McDonald's. So he whips off the yarmulke, he goes to McDonald's, and he orders a cheeseburger, and he doesn't know that the Chabad Shliach paid off the person at the counter, that if the Jewish guys come in, you slip them the kosher burger with the fake cheese. So he gets a kosher burger, he eats it, he says to himself, I don't know why people are so excited about McDonald's, it tastes basically the same as Kosher Delight. And so Chayra, he got saved from an Avera. So it's true, he did get saved from the Avera of eating treif, but he still needs a kapara because this guy thought that he was doing an avera. That's what it says. So here's the klal. If somebody thinks they're doing an avera, even if they don't end up actually committing the avera, they still need a kapara. Now the Mefarshim ask over here, there's another famous gemara, which is also in Kedushin, that says that if somebody intended to do a mitzvah, but didn't end up being able to do it through no fault of their own, they still get schar. But if somebody intended to do an avera but didn't do the avera through no fault of their own, they don't get ein hakadosh baruch hu mitzarf machshava ra lemaisa. So over here it seems that it's basically machshava ra.
Nobody had the maisa.
Right. So the answer is that here he actually did the maisa, meaning it's a machshava ra with the maisa, which
it's not a real
maisa avera. Right. Okay. Now on a very Baal Batra level, I think somebody's showing him even speak it out this way. That they say the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't demerit someone for bad intention if they didn't end up doing it is because if the guy got in the car to go to McDonald's to get a cheeseburger and he got a flat tire on the way, we don't know, he still had his Bechira, we don't know if he would have turned around when he got there. We don't know that. I think some Rishon is speaking out that way. He never actually did it. Over here, you know that the guy Mamish went ahead and did it. It just happened not to be a cheeseburger. But over here, you know that the person really made that wrong decision. It's not the same level of kapara as someone who actually ate it, like the Gemara says and Rabbi Kiva says, "Achas kam v'kam." Kam v'chaymer is someone who actually did it, right? Yeah, we might as well finish this Gemara. Kayyitze b'davar ataymer. Similarly, v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa avaynai. This is the other way around. Somebody did do avera, but they thought they weren't doing an avera. This is a case of someone who does an avera b'shaygig. So it says he bears a sin. Kishahaya Rabbi Akiva magia la pasuk ze haya baicha, used to cry. Ma mishin eskaven lechol shuman v'ala biyado chelev. Somebody who wanted to eat kosher and ended up eating treif. Amra Taira, the Taira says la yada v'ashin. V'nasa avaynai, he bears a sin. Mishin eskaven lechol chelev v'ala biyado chelev achas kam v'kam. Okay, very good. So that's the first concept. The first concept we're learning is someone who is niskaven to do something that's not an avera, that is an avera, sorry, and ends up doing something that's not an Avera, still needs a kapara. Okay. Now we're going to go one step further, and then we're going to get to our Shnar. The next Gemara is also Gemara in Kedushin. It's in Lamed Beis Amar Aleph, in the Sugya of... it's in the Sugya of Kiburav. It says, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna... the case of Rabba, son of Rav Huna. The Rav Huna wanted to test his son. Kara Shirai Ban Pei Rabba Barei. He tore up something inexpensive in front of Rabba, his son. Amr, he said, Izel ichzi irasach ilo rasach. I want to see if he has a temper or he doesn't have a temper. So the Gemara asks, how is he allowed to test him? Vidilma rasach, maybe he's going to get upset and disrespect his parent. Vika'avar alefne'ivar losite michshol. Meaning, by putting him to this test, you're being over lefne'ivar. Right. Makes sense. Gemara answers, the machil le liyikre. Av is allowed to be meichel on his covet. He's allowed to declare that if the son will disrespect me, I'm meichel. So he's meichel. Meichel is covet. And then he does something to test if his son will lose his cool with his own parent. So the reason it's not lefnei iver is because even if the person, if the guy does do it, I shouldn't call him a guy, Rabba Bar Rav Huna was a chashuv person. Even Rabba Bar Rav Huna will disrespect his father. Since the father was Michael, it's okay. It's not an avera. Comes Taisus and says, "But one second, did Rabba Bar Rav Huna know that the father was Michael, or he didn't know the father was Michael? Why? Because if he didn't know the father was Michael, then he's weiter going to be over, thinking he's disrespecting his father, thinking that his father wasn't Michael." So look at Taisus Dibra Maskel de Machal El Yikre. Bitzarech Leimer, you have to say Shayedia Kaidan Lachain. It has to be that at some point in the past he had told him this. Shalla Yehe, Kamein Eskavin Lechel, Basar Chazir, Va'ala Biyad Basar Taleh. Because otherwise it would be like the case that the Gemara says in the Ataf Pei Aleph on Beis. I said Pei Beis is Pei Aleph. Of somebody who was intending to do an Avero. So even if there was some secret reason why it wasn't an Avera, it's still a problem. Now, I want to just point out that this Taisus is taking things a step further. Because Taisus is saying that it's possible to have Lifnei Iver on causing someone to do something that's not really an Avera, that they think is an Avera. Because since the Gemara says, since the Gemara says there's such a concept that a person who does such a thing needs a kapara. And there's a concept of Lifnei Iver that if you cause someone to do it or tempt someone to do an Avera they wouldn't have otherwise done, you're not allowed to do that. So it's Lifnei Iver, right? So for example, according to this, a person would not be allowed to prank his friend by getting a kosher burger and putting in some fake cheese and telling him, let's eat treif, let's try it. Why? Because he... Forget it. First of all, that person is being over, but the person who gives it to him is also being over lifnei iver. Something's bothering him.
Doesn't the Gemara answer that it's not lifnei iver because he told him? Because he was mochel?
Yeah, it's not lifnei iver. You're asking how does Taisus... No, I think it's good. In other words, he's saying if he would have been upset, if he would have disrespected his father, the Rav Huna would have violated lifnei iver. Okay, lifne'iver of kibarav. So on that, the Gemara answers, no, he was Michael. So in Mela, he's not being over.
Okay.
Tais is asking, but he would still have been, if he didn't tell him that he was Michael.
Still good. Right.
Right, so something's bothering
him. So what's the... So the Maskara, we're saying he's still over on lifne'iver, but then, no.
No, he's
not
saying, no, since
not
he told him, then he's not over lifne'iver. But what we're learning from this Tais is that Taisus is saying that in a case where the offender doesn't know, if he doesn't know that it's not an Avera, then the person who tempts this person into offending, even if it's something that's only an illusion and really not an Avera, is still liable from lifnei iver. Okay, so now let me give out the next Maramakim I have for you. This Maramakim is a sefer called Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Tzedakah U'Mishpat is from Rabbi Yaakov Bloy. Yaakov Yishai Bloy, wrote a lot of very chashuv svarim. I just turned it over. It's page Nun Gimel. Maybe one of his most famous svarim is Chayvas Hadar, which is like the standard for Halachas Mezuzah. He also wrote a few other chashuv svarim. So his sefer on tzedakah, he writes on the top, Mishenatal tzedakah. You see where it says Chaf Beis?
He's flipped the page.
No, he passed away, I don't know, 15 or so years ago. I think he might have been the son of Reb Amram Bloy, the big kind of Tori Karta guy in Yerushalayim. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. Oh, you know what else he wrote? On Ribbis. I forgot the name of the Sefer right now, but it's like one of the first major Lika work on Ribbis. The name's escaping me now, just because it's past my bedtime. But, okay, so he says, Mishenatal tzedakah, by Chaf Beis on the top. Someone took tzedakah, v'achach noida sha'ashir haya. Then it was known that he was wealthy, meaning in this context he didn't need tzedakah. V'natal shalo kedena, what he took was inappropriate. So it says that he has to pay it back. That's what it says on the next side of the page. Based in not l'mimena mashenatal, based in takes back what he took. He'll have to sell what he had, anything of value. He'll have to sell his fancy car, get a cheaper car. Okay. So that's a quote of one of the early Mishnah. So now look at the paragraph on the footnote on the left column that starts, V'he'ireni hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. That's how. Shlomo Zalman told him the following thing. What happens if, I'll tell you the example. Example is, you have a guy comes knocking at your door, and he has some, you know, he's wearing a hat that looks like he stole it from the coat room in BMG, because his taka stole it from the coat room in BMG, and he has like some photocopied, you know, what's that thing, the Teimche Tzedakah thing, permit that expired a few years ago. You ever seen the forged ones? I've seen forged ones. And, you know, you don't trust this guy. He says he's collecting for something. And, you don't want to be confrontational. You just want to give him a dollar. It's worth a dollar for you to get him out of your face. So I'm just giving him the dollar. So I'll give him some. One sec. Shahanoisein lepoishet yad. If you give money to someone who's collecting, v'yodea shehu ramai, and you, the giver, you know that he's a fraud. He's a phony. Even if you give it to him as a gift. He's mamish paralleling the sugya. In other words, he's going to be stealing. If he fools somebody, he's stealing. But he's not stealing from me because he didn't fool me. I'm going to give him the dollar. I'm going to give him the dollar. Give him it as a gift. It's worth it. You're being machshel this guy. If he's Jewish, you're being over the snake iver. He brings the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in the Taisis, that there's Lifnei Iver. Why? Because this guy thinks that he just stole a buck from me. This guy thinks that he just swindled me out of a dollar by telling me a story about this kailal he has, or whatever it is. And he didn't fool me. I gave it to him. But he thinks he fooled me. So you have the same problem. Yeah. So according to Shlomo Zalman, what do you have to do?
Not giving the dollar.
Yeah, not giving the dollar. You can tell him.
Listen,
tell him
I know.
Yeah, you tell him, I know you're phony. I'm giving you a dollar to go away. That's what he seems to be saying, right? Fascinating thing. Now he says after Ad Khan, he says L'chayra Hayav Shel Chag. This is Rabbi Bloy speaking. He says you could say maybe if you want to be lundish, you could say maybe there's a difference between avera she'ena b'mamin, l'bein avera she'b'mamin. Maybe there's a difference between eating treif and stealing a dollar. Maybe when it comes to money, if you're meichel, it's somehow better. He says, no, it doesn't fit. So let's try. He has a few other things here, but let's see what he says. Maybe there's a way out of this. Maybe we could argue like this. And Tosfos says that you have to tell him that you're Meichel or whatever it is. That's only Ela Behahi. In that case, Sheha'av hu ha-mevi'a lidei rischa. The case was that the father was going to goad the son into getting angry and misbehaving. Even though, practically speaking, he was Michael. Mikomakim yesh kan avera b'machshava. It's an avera in what he thought he was doing. The gambazeh ha'yahu ha'gayra ha'machshel. This is the important part. Who was the cause? The father was the person who caused this whole thing. Avol b'nidan didan, in our case, shehu la'garam le'machsheva sa'avera. When I opened the door to this guy's knock, I wasn't the guy. I didn't give him the idea to steal. He was planning on stealing the whole time. The gamba ma'isa avera le'achshilai, and la'maisa I didn't cause him to do an avera shalir machalai. Afal pi shebe'emes sarach mechilu kapara machshavta mekomakem enu nikra machshil.
I didn't make him do it.
He's saying something interesting. He's saying I'm not liable for lifnei iver. The guy wanted to steal from me, right? So if he would have stolen, let's say he would have fooled me. I wouldn't be a vilifnei iver. I don't know. He's just fooling me. So now that I didn't get fooled and I give him the dollar, I'm not making it. It's not any worse on the account. It's his problem. He's the guy who decided he's going to do avera. That's his
chesed. It's the same. Like if someone was coming to rob you, and you had rachmana on the guy. Like this guy.
A certain sense. That's
put
sort of
money out on the table. So
that's what's going on over here.
So I'm not evil thing either. Yeah, the guy was stealing.
Right. You know, in secular law, when it comes to let's say, what's it called? When it comes to let's say law enforcement, busting people, there's a concept of entrapment, which is that. They're supposed to be able to prove in court that they caught a guy who was going to do it anyway, and they tried to. The FBI, half the so-called terrorists they arrest, they hang around near mosques, and they look for a guy who's a little grumpy, and they say, "You want bombs? I'll give you bombs." They give him a bomb and a fake bomb, and they arrest them. Right? That's how they say, "Oh, look what we're doing to stop terrorists." So what they're supposed to do is find people who bets and were looking for bombs somewhere else. They were shopping for bombs.
They happen to knock
it into them. And you chap them, right? But if you chap somebody who's bechlal, not looking for trouble, and you, right, so that's the issue. That's less of a, that's a bigger legal burden. Yeah, that's the chilek he says. He goes a little further about this, but it's very interesting in Alamdisha point also.
Is that only for this case, or is that in general with Ne'ivah? Have to be instigating.
Right. So normally by lifnei iver it's clear that you don't have to be the instigator. The Gemara says in the first parak of Avodah Zarah, if a nazir says to you, pass the wine, and you pass the wine, you're over lifnei iver, unless he could have gotten it anyway. Meaning, if he can't reach it and you could reach it, and he says, pass the wine. Right, the Gemara's case is across the river.
You're creating.
Right. No. So he's right. You create the opportunity. Correct. If he would have had the opportunity anyway, and you pass it to him, so it's you're not over the deraisa. So there's it's an issur d'rabbanan. I got just an interesting idea. There is lifnei iver on non-Jews also, on things non-Jews are not allowed to do. The Gemara says beferish that if a non-Jew asks you to pass him iver menachai, which a non-Jew is not allowed to eat, you pass him iver menachai. You're over lifnei iver. Very interesting general raid. There's raid in Achronim if lifnei iver is a bein adam l'chaveri avera or bein adam l'makim avera. You're iver because you're doing something wrong for this guy. You're helping him do something that's bad for him. Or the Pshat says, no, it's bad for Shemayim because the Torah, God doesn't want this avera happening.
Yeah, but then it would still be important to know, right? He would do it anyway, and he can't do it anyway.
The nafkamin is usually mitzvahs bein adam l'chaver do not apply to only apply to fellow yidden, don't apply to any yehudi. So that's some of the lamdim talk about. There's possibly even two dinim here, meaning that when Hashem said that a non-Jew is not a ever menachai, so I'm also responsible. In a certain sense, they're making sure that not helping a non-Jew eat Eber Menachai, regardless of my responsibility for this guy as my friend. He's not necessarily my fellow. And there's a separate thing that you're not allowed to, like it says, if you give a person a bad advice. That aspect might be Ben Adam Achaver. It's not in the Chumash, they say, do not place a stumbling block before the blind. Yeah? You ever saw a stumbling block? You ever went into Home Depot and it says, light bulbs, aisle one, stumbling block. Just imagine when Mashiach comes, they're going to have the Home Depot in B'nai Brak. It's going to be amazing. You know how they have now like metric and imperial wrenches? They're going to have chazanish, chaim na. Right? You're going to say, I'm here for love of the wires. I'm here for this. Also, they're going to have stumbling blocks, and they're going to have Erev equipment. They're going to have this stuff. Talk about very interesting. I have somewhere a picture. I was once searching on Amazon, I think, for a book about Erevin. So I put in the Erev, because I wasn't sure the name of the book. So it always shows like suggested purchases. Very interesting. So this book and another book came out. And then there was fishing line. And then there was also like some hardware, like that people who do Erevin are into. Fascinating thing. Anyway, that's the Maisa. Practically speaking, if I want to get sued for libel. Practically speaking, no, but that takes away all the fun. Practically speaking, people should only give money, tzedakah, to causes that they're familiar with. And if a random person knocks on the door, if you don't have a reason to suspect that they're lying, so they're not lying, but people should give them small donations, not large donations. Large donations, people should save for their those institutions they know about. There's some institutions that are not even necessarily, I don't have any reason to think that they misuse the money, but anybody who looks at the Jewish magazine sees the marketing that goes on for that, which is totally gross. Right? You give money to this and this 1-800 Vadarabanim or whatever it is, and well, the Gadol Hadar is personally going to think about your name when he eats the kishka and what's it called? It's a misuse of the Gedolim. That's not how you raise tzedakah. Maybe they're desperate, but there definitely are a lot of ganavim out there. If you want to see, grab that. This is not really Torah anymore. But I once got a phone call, fundraising phone call, from an organization. I don't mind saying this in a recording because I dare this guy to sue me. They said they were raising money for the American Coalition for Crisis Relief. They're going to help. I forgot what they said they were going to help. The whole sob story. They're helping homeless veterans. Are they helping, I forgot what, autistic children or cancer survivors? So I was so curious about these chevra. It was like an itch. I couldn't stop scratching. So I went to check who are these chevra. So it's a political action committee. I wrote up a whole report on them. Political action committee is better for Geneva than a charity. Because if you say you're raising money for a charity and you don't give a dollar to charity, what happens? It's fraud. Political action committee raises money to give to what? To political campaigns. So you can have a political action committee, let's say, called the Highway Mincha Political Action Committee. And we raise funds and we give money to support politicians running for the government who are going to support making minyanim on the side of the highway in Sloatsburg. That's totally okay. It's legal. So they made a political action committee to help, to help Mitzrachim. They don't get in trouble even if they don't give a single dollar to any committees. So this guy, Don Wood, his wife is also from Windermere, California, Florida. This is a picture of this guy. Very interesting fellow. So he, according to the Federal Election Committee, over here, you can see, American Coalition for Crisis Relief PAC in 2019. This is the same address, Dr. Wood at InspiredPerformanceInstitute.com. He's the custodian of records, is Don Wood, treasurer is Don Wood. Shai? Okay. So now, over the years, he took his name off, he put on other people. Now there's a guy named Andrew Stefanides, and they have a different address. You know, they get these like UPS faxes. So trying to figure out, so where does the money go? Like, obviously they're going to oven, but where does the money go? Because they have to publicize, they have to file. Where's the Geld going? Right? So I look over here, it says, I'm trying to remember if I have the number. Yeah, like in 1 year, they spent $220,000 on a company called Donor Solutions for fundraising, payment and compliance services, and crisis relief consultants for management services and research and consulting. Okay. And they get other money also, like, you know, they paid money to Kinko's for mailing and for envelopes and for photocopies, but that I understand. So crisis relief consultants is, yeah, Don Wood in Windermere.
What's wrong,
yeah, amazing. So the guy has, he has a political action committee. He also has consultants. He consulted himself. I'm just curious to see, what is he doing? Because it says $220,000. What did he do? He sat there, he said, you know, like those cover make the TikToks where they sit on one side and they sit on the other side and pretend they're talking to each other. What do you think I should do today? Let's make some phone calls. So Mash, all they do, yeah, the reason it's interesting to me is because if somebody calls me to sell me
and probably here and there he gives the money to some campaign.
So I checked. I don't think they did. I don't think they do. I'm not sure if they have to. I think I checked.
They don't have to.
Yeah. They all, oh, they also get, they also got loans in the PPP when you know, because they, I don't know why they were having trouble calling people and asking money. These people are terrible because these are the chevra that they call, like old ladies, and they steal all their pension money. You know, they say, oh, we're raising money for this, for that. It's really bad. But what's fascinating is it's such a crazy loophole, because if they would call and they would say we want to sell you a warranty for your car, so I would sue them. I'd take them to court because they're not allowed to do telemarketing, right? But these chevra, they're taking money and they're not offering anything. They're just stealing it. But the, I don't know, I think some election clubs, that's some Michigan guys. So just know that for every guy in Unzer Oilam that's a shtickle off, there's 100 chevra from the other Oilam that's big experts in Geneva. Unbelievable what some of these chevra can do. So the shayla is rather an interesting thing. I never gave these chevra money. They called me several times. Let's say I would give them money, and I'll be Michael the money. Yeah.
Because a guy has a.
They're not allowed to steal. Is there lifnei iver? Is there lifnei iver because the guy thinks he's stealing from me? But I was Michael. I'm not sure. So
besides lifnei iver, you're not allowed to give a gift to a guy.
That's right. There's potential istachanim over here. Yeah. Yeah. Unless I was giving for my own reasons. Sometimes, some telemarketers that call me, I give them money and then I take them into court. I sue them. But that's not what's going to happen here. So, I guess.